Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf Samach Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which we discussed it, regarding these laws of Kesamim, of finding a bloodstain that we were talking about. So regarding two elements, there's a requirement of putting seven detergents on that bloodstain. One is either to verify if it's blood or not, and that will tell us if it comes off or not, if it's blood or if it's a dye. Additionally, in general, regarding the bloodstain, there's halacha of bitl, of nullifying it, because if one wants to immerse that garment, which became tummy from the dam of nida, one has to first nullify the blood, which is a contaminant, which is a metame, and therefore one has to first go ahead and nullify it by putting on the seven detergents. So one of the ingredients that the Mishnah spoke about was raw saliva. So the Mishnah explained, Ezehu reg tafel, what's considered raw saliva. So on that, the Mishnah described regarding someone who hasn't eaten yet anything that day. So Tanu Linda Braisa that elaborates on this and says, it means kol shle tom klum mebe'erev. It means someone who didn't eat anything from the evening before him. Now, says the Gemara, Savra Rav Papa kamed de Rav Lameimer. Rav Papa thought in front of Rav to say, interpreting this Braisa, Command the Amar, it's like someone who says, I didn't eat anything yesterday. I mean to say that not only didn't he eat this whole morning, this whole day, before he goes and uses the saliva as the detergent, but even yesterday in the evening, let's say dinner time, he didn't even eat then. Rava said to Rav Papa, Mikatani Be'erev? Did the Braisa say that it's whoever didn't eat in the evening, and now it's the next day already? No, Mibe'erev Katani, from the evening is what it says. But in the previous evening, he did eat like everyone else. It's just lafukehech de kadim. It's just excluding where someone who went early in the morning, after he woke up from his sleep, va'achal, and he ate, then that's not going to be considered roig tafel as raw saliva. Because what happens is that sleep bitters the saliva, and it strengthens it and makes it very toxic. Now, if someone eats, it sweetens the saliva, and then it takes away from the strength of being used as a detergent. That's what the Braisa meant to say. As long as someone didn't eat in the morning, that's what they did since last night. But yeah, last night he ate. Moreover, Amar Rabbi Babachan Amar Bi'ichin, he says, Ezehu Rik Tafel. He qualifies, what is this raw saliva? Kol sha'avar lav chatzois laila ubishina. It has to be that the person has passed by midnight with his saliva and that he was sleeping. Says the Gemara, Lememar de Bishina Tali Mils, is that really so? Is that to say that the integrity of this raw saliva has to have that the person had slept with it? But what's not in the Braisa that says, Yashin Kaliyam, let's say someone slept the whole day. That's not going to qualify as raw saliva. Sleeping during the day is not effective. Neir kol halayla, even if he was up all night, but as long as it was saliva from throughout the night that he didn't eat, harizah roig tafel, that is raw saliva. So you see, it's not dependent on sleep. To the contrary, sleep during the day doesn't help, and at night you don't need to sleep. Says the Gemara, no, it's not difficult, because hasam over there in the braisa, which says that even if he was up all night, that's going to qualify as raw saliva, it doesn't mean literally that he was up all night. Because you're right, you need to have sleep going through midnight to qualify as reg tafel. This that said that he was up, it means mimim snamnim, when he was dozing. Most definitely, you need to have sleeping during the nighttime. And like we said in the converse, sleeping during the daytime, even if you literally slept, that's not going to make it raw saliva, because since he ate something that day in the morning, so that's going to benefit him the whole day, even if he then slept the whole entire day. However, when we say that he was up at nighttime, it means he wasn't in a full-fledged sleep, but he was dozing off. So says the Gemara, Hechadam Misnamnim, how do we characterize this dozing off? So Amar Vashi says, it's Nimbele Nim, it's sleeping but not sleeping, Tir Vele Tir, it's awake but not really awake. Which is, Dekar Leva Ani, if someone calls him, he'll respond, but Vele Yodel Aduri Svar, he's not going to know how to respond logically. V'chimat Kur Le Midkar, but when they remind him of something, he'll remember. That's the qualification of, yeah, it doesn't have to be certain types of sleep, but it has to be somewhat of a sleep to qualify as this reg tafel. Moreover, Tanu Lutna Braisa, let's say Hishkim Vishana Pirka, let's say he got up in the morning and he learned his regular learning that he does in the morning, which he went and he said it out loud, as learning is supposed to be. Now, the speaking actually also removes from the strength of the saliva. So inzer reg tefel, that's also not going to qualify. Even if he didn't eat anything that day yet, that's also not going to qualify as raw saliva, because all that speaking also goes and takes away from that strength of the saliva. Says the Gemara Ad Kama, how much learning are we talking about? Meaning that he was speaking. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Elazar, says kol sheyatzer roiv di burish al shalish shoyis. As long as he went and he spoke, the majority of how much he usually speaks in 3 hours, If that was the learning that he did, that's going to sweeten the raw saliva, and again, that's not going to qualify either as roig tefil. Another ingredient the Mishnah spoke about was, what's mei grisin? What's the juice of the split beans? So the Mishnah said, le'isas grisin shel poil b'chulu, if he chewed up the split beans that were detached from the peel, b'chulu, etc., that's going to qualify for that ingredient, for that detergent. Says the Gemara, Lema, let's say that the Mishnah that requires the chewing up of the split bean, so that the spittle should be mixed in with the split bean, is Misayel Rish Lakish. That supports the teaching of Rish Lakish, because Damar Rish Lakish, he said, Reik Tafel, this, although we mentioned as one of the seven ingredients of the detergents, but he says that the raw saliva, Tzorch Shihei Im Kol Echad Ve'Echad, that has to be, that ingredient, that detergent has to be with every, whenever you're doing each one of these detergents individually, the raw spittle has to be with them all. So that's the same idea. The reason why you're chewing up the split bean is because you want to have the raw saliva mixed in with that detergent. So as you might know, it's not a proof. Dilma havla de pumi ma'ali. Maybe, let's say we wouldn't hold like Rish Lakish. You don't have to have the raw spittle. So why are we chewing up the split bean? That's for a different reason. That's because the heat of the mouth, that's effective in enhancing the detergent of the split beans for the laundering process, and therefore that's why we do it, not necessarily because of the saliva. Now, however, the Gemara says, Masnit l'ikra b'yuda, our Mishnah that says it's sufficient, even if, let's say, we're saying it's the heat of the mouth, that's all you have to do for the split beans, that's the l'ikra b'yuda, it's not l'ikra b'yuda, because the Tanya, we learned the Braisa b'yuda, he says, what's mei grisin? How do you qualify this, the juice from the split beans? He says, reseach, have to heat it up. So even if we're saying it's the heat from the mouth, that's not quite like when you're heating it up. And moreover, he says, v'ayver shayitin l'toichei melech. As the Gemara is going to explain right now, the word over is like before. Before you put in the salt, because the salt removes some of the intensity of the split beans. Before you do that, you have to heat it up, then that's going to qualify as the ingredient. Again, not like our Mishnah that says you chew it. Here he says you have to heat it up. Now, as we mentioned, his wording was va'over she'itin l'teich melech, which we explained to mean to say that he heats it up and he uses a detergent before you put in salt. So says Gemara, my mashma the high over lishna dakdumehu. Where do we see as a source that the word over means beforehand? So Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, because Amr Kra, the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, vayaretz achimoetz derech hakikar. The achimoetz ran in the area of the plain, the path of the plain. Vayaver es hakushi, which means to say that he got there before the kushi. So you see, vayaver means before. Abayama mahachi brings the pasuk in Bereishis, says vahu over lifneim. He passed in front of them, meaning it was before. That their king went in front of them. Vashem Bereish, Vashem is in the front. Again, the idea that we see that Vayaver means before him. Now the Mishnah, another detergent the Mishnah spoke about was Meraglim, was urine. What's that? Says the Mishnah, Shech Mitzu, that it fermented, meaning that it's putrid. That's the type of Meraglim that we're talking about. So Tanu Lina Brisa Kamechimutzin, how much does it have to sit to ferment to qualify? So it says the Brisa Shleishiyam for 3 days. Now Amar Biechanan, he says in comment regarding this halacha, says Kol Shir Chacham Biksam, all the measurements of the sages regarding the laws of the stains, as we're talking about here regarding, let's say, the detergents that are necessary to be mevatel that stain. Tzarch Shir L'Shirin, you need to have measurements for the measurements, because he says it's not totally clear and qualified exactly what we're supposed to use. Because let's say regarding this halacha of the Meraglim that was fermented, the Yelid, or the Zakan, whose urine are we talking about? Of a child or of an elderly person? The elderly person is stronger than that of a child. The Ish, or the Isha, are we talking about the urine of a man or a woman? Mechusim, are we talking about the urine that as it's fermenting it's covered, which is also stronger? Or Megulim, or is it enough, let's say it was uncovered? Are we talking about B'mei Sechamet, talking about in the summer months where that gets more fermented with the heat and the sun? Or in the winter? So it says it's not enough with the way it's qualified. You need to have measurements for those measurements to say exactly how the process is done. The Mishnah says that regarding all these seven detergents, v'tzarch l'chaschis shalish pamim, you need to go ahead and rub the stain 3 times with each one of those 7 ingredients. Now, Bayer B'Yirmiyah, he had the following question. Amtuyei va'asoyei, going and coming, which is what one does when one rubs, you move back and forth. Is that considered chad? Each going and coming, those two together, is considered one, because they say you need to do it 3 times, that would be one. Maybe going and coming is considered 2. Going forward is 1, and coming back is 1. That would be 2. So when you say you need to do 3, is that going and coming 3 times? Or going is 1, coming back is 1, and then going is the 3rd time? My, what's the halacha? So it says, take a letter stand. It's not clear. What does it mean when you say you have to do three times in the combination of the two of them, or each one is considered one action? Now, the Mishnah said, Havim and Shalei Kisidrin. If one puts on the ingredients out of order, the seven ingredients, the seven detergents as mentioned in the Mishnah, so then it's not going to be significant, it's not valid. It has to be in that order and each one individually. Now, related to this, Allah Tarnbaim learned the Braisa. Hiktim Shniyim Librishainim. If let's say you do the second half of the ingredients before the first half of the ingredients, which is, let's say you do Nesa, Beiris, Kamunya, and Ashlig, which are the latter four, before the Reik Tafel, the May Greason, and the Merig Lime, which were mentioned first. So, seems to be a contradiction in Braises the way it's quoted. Tanachada, one Braises says that, and we're going to explain it the way the resolution is in actuality, Shniim, those ingredients that ultimately were done second, which is really what's supposed to be done first, they were done second, Aluloi. They're valid. Those ingredients you're not going to have to do over again. Rishayim loy Aluloi. The first ingredients that were done are not valid. They're not going to work for them. Meaning, when you're going to end up doing over the Neser, Bayris, Kamunya, and the Ashlag a second time, after the red grease and the Meriglam that he had already done, it's going to come out that he's going to be doing it in the order. Because he did it out of order. He did the second half first, and then the first half. So, means to say what you did first, which was the second half, is not valid. You'll have to do it over, so then that will be in the order. Now, but another braisa that seems to say the exact opposite. Oh, rishayim alulai. No, the first ones are going to be valid. Shniim aloy alulai. The second ones are not going to be valid. So that seems to be a contradiction. One saying shniim alulai, rishayim aloy alulai. The second one saying no, rishayim alulai, shniim aloy alulai. So Mabai says no, it's not a difficulty. Edi, both braisa agree that shniim, the second ones, meaning that were done second, which should have been done first, alulai, that's going to be valid. They were done second, but they're going to ultimately be now the first one when you're going to be doing over. Because v'loy rishayin, the first ones that were done, that's not valid because they were supposed to be second. And that's the appropriate way. When you're going to have to make them do over a second time, now it's going to be in the order. My rishayinim, then what does it mean when the other braisa said that rishayinim aluloy, the first ones are going to be valid? That means rishayinim lekesidron. That means the first ones of the appropriate order, how it should have been done. Which he didn't do first, he did second. Whoa, which that is what we call the first ones of the order, which are Vishniyim Lahavarasan, which the second one which he actually did, which is essentially saying the same thing as the first price. They all agree that the second one is valid, meaning they were done second, which is really the first, and then you have to do over the first one, which is really supposed to be second, which now when you're doing it over is going to be second after the first ones. Now that we continue to the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the now beginning a topic of Vesasis. Regarding fixed periods, when a woman continuously sees or expects to have her period on a certain time, that then is the time when we are concerned for it and not any other time. Says the Mishnah as follows, Kalisha Sheesh Lo Vest, any woman that has a set period, so Dayashaita, so then it's sufficient whenever she has a Re'iyah of Dam, that through these Vestas, when she's having those symptoms, so then we suspect it only then and we don't suspect it any other time. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu hen habasasis, what are these periods? I mean, what are these expected time periods? Then mifahekes, which either means to say stretching, or as Taisa says, but then that gets involved in machlekes rishayim, a different type of stretching, like a yawning. Umateshes, and sneezing, with these different types of interpretations, but the classic sneezing. Ovecheshes, bifikreso, or if she feels a sensation in the opening of her stomach, which means, say, opposite the navel area, uvishifoli ma'ayeha, or on the bottom of her intestines, meaning by the area of the uterus, or vishifas, or if she flows dam, which I was going to ask, what's that saying? That doesn't seem to be saying a set time. It sounds like she's always flowing blood. Or ukamintsamarmarais oichsenais, or she has these types of fevers that grip a hold of her, meaning that's how she always, how her body works. Whenever she's having her period, then she gets these fevers. Or anything similar like this, which I'm going to explain what's that coming to include, that's considered a symptom of having the damnida, the menstrual period. Now, it says the Mishnah, B'chol shekavu l'shalei shapam, any woman that establishes that three times, this pattern, that every time she has a period, let's say she has those fevers, or she sneezes, hareiz aves, that creates a ves kavua, an established set period, that's the time now that we expected, not any other time. Now the Gemara wonders why we have this Mishnah. Tanina Chadazimna really learned this halacha once before in the beginning of the Masechta, that Beis Amidalas. The Mishnah said, Kalisha Shesh Lavest, Ayashaita, anyone who has a set period, so that's sufficient. I mean, we spoke about the Vest She'in the Kavua. It doesn't always have the same time that she sees it. Then we have to suspect that it was there the previous 24 hours, or the machlokes that we had over there. But set period, it's sufficient for that time when she has that symptom. So that's the halacha of our Mishnah, why are we saying it over again? Says the Gemara, Hasan bevesasis de yemi. They were talking about set periods of days, which is every 15 days, every 15th day, that the halacha is, that's when she generally sees it. So, okay, we're expecting it on that day. That's a vest of a yom. Hacha bevesasis de gufa. Here we're talking about set periods that are related to her symptoms in her body. And that's what tells us that she's having a menstrual period. And if that's a different halacha, that's the day, let's say the 15th of the month. And here, it's regarding something in her body. Could they tell you, like all the cases of our Mishnah are talking about that? The Mishnah said, Elohim Besas is what's considered the set periods. Hesem Mefahekes, like we said, if she's stretching, or Mateshes, or she sneezes, or Becheshes Befikreso, or she feels something by her navel area, or Beshefoyle Mayeho, or by the uterus, or Beshefas, or she's flowing dumb. These are all things in her body. That's a different halacha, and therefore that's what we need in our Mishnah for Vest Haguf. Now, regarding the last item we just mentioned, the Gemara wonders, fast, flowing blood, hashaf vaz, that means to say she's constantly flowing blood. Where's the vest? Where's the set period? What do you mean? Her whole life, she's essentially just flowing blood, so there's no set time. How is this a vest? So, Ma'ula Bereda Bilai says, what the case with Tomar over here, shafaz, is a continuum in Beis. It means b'shefaz dam tummy, means that she flows the tummy dam of menstrual blood, mitoich dam tahar, from pure blood, which we said not every blood is tummy that comes out of a woman's genital area, which means to say that the way this woman's body usually works is that she first has a flow of blood, that's tahar. And then it always happens that then the dam tummy comes out. That's a vest. So every time she sees the tummy blood after the tar blood, we say, Dayashaita, that, okay, this is the only time we assume her to be having her dam, not before, not after. That's considered a vest, where that's the pattern in her body. So when we see the dam tar, we know that that's a sign telling us that the dam tummy is here. Now, additionally, the Mishnah said, the next case, it was the commencement of Maris Bechulu, and so too, if there's types of fevers grip her, or anything that's similar to that. Says the Gemara, what's it coming to clue? And it says, and anything that's similar to that will also be considered a vest haguf. So Rabbi Ba'uli says, Lasuya, it's coming to clue like the following cases. Isha, Sharisha, Kavarla, a woman who has a heavy head, or has that heavy feeling in her head, or her limbs are heavy on her. These are bodily symptoms when a woman's having a period, or recesses, or like a trembling feeling, or Vagaisa, which again, either means yawning, or it's like a belching. These are different physical symptoms that a woman could have. Those are visasis, those are set periods. That tells us that this is when she's having her period. Now, relating back to our topic, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel. It says, Hare Amru, that they said, which we're going to quote later on in the sugya, that a teaching was said that a woman doesn't need to repeat it a second time or a third time to establish the vest. It's going to be enough on the first time. Then you already created a vest. Now, the explanation that was given was, to repeat regarding a vest, and then you don't need a second time and neither a third time. So, what does it mean, a second and a third time? So, Shmuel explained, Liyamim, regarding a vest, Hayyim, like we said, was the opening Mishnah of our Masechta, too, which is on the day. So that's Shnayim. So as long as you established it two times that pattern, that's already creating a vest. Now, Levesasais, but regarding a vest, Haguf, like we're talking about in our Mishnah, so that's Achas. That's enough to establish it one time is already considered a vest. So therefore, when we said you don't have to do it twice or three times, what we say you don't have to do it twice is regarding a vest haguf. That's even one time having that, let's say belching and having a period. Oh, that's your vest. And what we say you don't need to do three times is regarding a vest hayyim that you had on the 15th of the day and you had a 15th day. Okay, we see it's the 15th day. That becomes your vest haguf. It doesn't have to be a third time. Now, l'mashalei manachacham, and for what the sages did not count, that was shleisha. That requires three times to create a vest. Now, so that was what Shmuel was qualifying and clarifying from that teaching. He was explaining what is it that you is enough one time, what's enough, what's two times, and what's three times. Now, but then Shmuel himself asked, "Lamashalei manu chachamim, this that was said in the teaching, therefore what the sages didn't say, says, Lasuyi mai. He says, what's that coming to include? He says, he doesn't know what that is. What Shmuel was saying was, I heard a teaching that for what the sages did not count, you need three times. He says, I don't know what that actually is. Avadam Rav Yisrael, he says, Lasuyi resha kovadala. He says, that's coming to include, which were not counted in the Mishnah, which coming to include, if she has a heavy head, over a kaved nala, or if she has heavy limbs, or versasis, or she's trembling, over gaisa, or if she's belching. Now, Amalei Abaya, on that Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, what do you mean, my kamash malom? What is that teaching? To the contrary, masnini, that was taught in the Mishnah. Where was it taught in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah said the words v'chein kayetzaben, and so too, anything that's similar to that, the pirsha Rabbi Ula, and Rabbi Ula explained, is coming to include these cases. So why is that considered l'mashalei mon chacham? This was counted by the sages in our Mishnah. Elam Abaya, rather, he gives a different interpretation. What requires three times to develop a vest, and it's l'mashalei mon chacham? Is lasuyi coming to include the following case? Achla shum barasa. Woman, she ate garlic and she had a period. Vachla betzalam barasa. She ate onions and she had a period. Kasas apilpalam barasa. She chewed pepper and then she saw it. So here they're very similar, but they're not the same thing. That requires three times. You're right. A vest haguf is enough one time. A vest hayoim is two times. Oh, what was not mentioned, which is an interesting case, which has similarity, there's a pattern, but it's not the same exact thing, that would require three times. Now, Rav Yisrael said, Leishamili Hashmait, he says, this, it's all based on this teaching of Shmuel, which was the question, okay, what's this Lamash Leman Chacham? Rav Yisrael tried giving an interpretation, Abai rejected that, but Rav Yisrael says, Leishamili Hashmait, he says, I never heard this teaching of Shmuel that he's saying that for days, to develop a vest is enough two times, for vest aguf is enough one time. He says, I never heard this teaching. Abaye said to him, what do you mean? At amritli nahalon. You told us this teaching, and you know where you told us the teaching? Vaha amritli nahalon. And it's on regarding this teaching, which we're going to quote later on the Mishnah on the bottom of the daf, which we're going to quote in the next daf. It was on that Mishnah that you told us this teaching, which Rabbi Yosef had gotten ill and forgot his learning, and Abaye constantly reminded him of things that he himself said. The Mishnah tells us, if it was a woman's normal pattern to see her period on the 15th day, and then she changed it to see on the 20th day. So the Mishnah says, so now both are prohibited for her. Meaning, when she gets to the 15th day from her period, so it's forbidden for her to have relations because maybe she never uprooted that pattern yet. Maybe she's going to go back to that vest. But additionally, when she reaches day 20, she's also going to be forbidden, because actually maybe now she's starting to establish a new pattern, like last time was day 20, maybe here's also going to be day 20. So both are forbidden. Now, but let's say, shalish pam liyam esrim, but let's say three times she really changed it to day 20. Oh, then hutu yom chamisha, so then the day 15 is now permitted for her to have relations then, and we're not concerned that she'll have a period, but she always used to be a pattern on day 15, because of a kavalo yom esrim. Now she actually established day 20 by doing it three times as her new vest. She'ein ishe kavas laves, as the Mishnah says, because a woman does not establish a pattern, actually to defend the shalosh pam until she establishes it three times. When she does, that becomes a new one, and now the old one we're not concerned for anymore. That's what the Mishnah says. Now the amrit lo nalon, on that Mishnah you told us that Amr Yehuda Amash Shmuel, this was the teaching that zu divrei Rabbi Gamliel bar Rebbe. This halach of our coming Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel bar Rebbe. Sha'ama Mishnah Mishnah Gamliel, who he said in the name Mishnah Gamliel, which is that a chazaka, a presumed state, is not less than three times, as we know throughout Shas. Mishnah Gamliel's opinion is mentioned in his machlekes with Rebbe that he holds a chazaka is only three times. Like for example, as the Gemara says, Nivamas Samach Dalam Abayz, that if a woman's husbands continue to die, she could still marry a third husband. The fourth one she cannot, because it takes three times to establish a chazaka. So that next Mishnah says that her vest is only after three times. That's like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ava Chacham, I remember the sages say, no, they disagree, which was this teaching that we quoted before, which Abai is telling him, you, Rav Yisrael, have told us this teaching. Rasa, the sages say a different qualification. If she has a period, she doesn't require Lo Lishan is not to repeat it a second time, Lo Lishan is not repeat it a third time, doing it one time is going to already create a vest. Now, Farmin Lach, we said to you, what does this mean? Lashanis Amr Lunavi tells you she doesn't have to do it a second time. Lashalish Mebaya, so do you have to tell her she doesn't have to do it a third time? Vamr Lun, you told us, oh, this is the explanation. She doesn't require Lashanis to repeat a second time, Bevisasis, when it's a Vest HaGuf. Yeah, one time if she belches and she sees a period, now we're going to already create a Vest HaGuf. Lashalish, when the Chacham say it doesn't require a third time, is Beyamim, is by days. To make a Vest HaYamim, a Vest HaChaydish, so for that, it's enough with two times, you don't require a third time. Now, so therefore, Abaye told him that he himself had set over this teaching. Now, but one thing the Gemara asked on this was, the Neima, but why didn't they just say, Zud Divri Reb Shimon Gamliel? We know throughout Shas, everywhere, that Reb Shimon Gamliel is the one who requires three times to create a chazaka. So why is it set over, the way this teaching of Reb Yehuda Mishmul? By saying, oh, the next Mishnah is Reb Gamliel by Rebbe in the name of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Just say, it's Reb Shimon Gamliel, because we know that's who it is. Says the Gemara, "B'hakam Ashmal and Shmuel, what Shmuel is coming to teach us is during Gamliel b'Rabbi, Kir b'Shimon Gamliel severely." He was telling us, "Yeah, we know it's Shmuel Gamliel, but he wanted to also say that Gamliel b'Rabbi also holds like that opinion of the next Mishnah of the on the bottom the Mishnah next the next after one the one on the bottom of the Amid is of that opinions." Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah continuing this theme of Vesasis of a vest, which is established time of expecting a period. Says the Mishnah, if a woman, and this is continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we're talking about specifically vest haguf, which are bodily symptoms that are telling us that she's getting a period. So if she was accustomed to always see the discharge of blood, betchilas habasasis, in the beginning of that vest, which is, let's say, a woman is experiencing sneezing. So there could be in the beginning and at the end. So if she would see it in the beginning of that vest, so call tahara sha'asasa b'teicha b'sasa. So any taras that she was involved with during the time of that sneezing, so then Timaeus, all those taras are going to be tamei because she gets it in the beginning of the sneezing. So the whole time that she was doing that, obviously everything then is going to be tamei because she already had her dam in the beginning, which makes her into a nida. But let's say she was accustomed to have the discharge of blood b'seif havasasas at the end of that, whatever it was, after the belching, after the yawning, after the stretching, at the end of that, that's when she normally would have her dam come out. Oh, then kalat tahara sha'asta b'teich havasasas, taharas. Then any taharas that she was involved with during the time of the belching and the sneezing or whatever it is, they can be tar because she only gets it at the end. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, he adds on additionally, he says, af yam b'shois. He says, additionally, days and even hours, as the Gemara is going to explain his opinion, are vesasas, those are also considered a vest, an established time of expecting a period. Now, continues the Mishnah, if a woman was accustomed to have a period exactly at the time of sunrise, so then she's only forbidden at the time of sunrise. But the whole previous night, she's allowed to have relations. And additionally, if let's say sunrise passed and she did not have a discharge of blood, she's allowed to have relations that whole day. Because this is a continuation of the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, who, as we're going to explain the Gemara, as he just said previously, he's precise with the exact time, not only days, but even of hours, of the vest, and nothing more. So if she expects it at sunrise, so before sunrise and after sunrise, according to Rabbi Yisi, is going to be permitted. But Rabbi Yehuda Aimee, he says, no, kala yom shalah. He says, yeah, if she passes sunrise and she does not have a discharge of blood, says Rabbi Yehuda, then she's allowed to have relations that whole day. But the inference of what he's trying to tell us is the whole night before sunrise, which is part of her vest, is forbidden for her to have relations. Because as Gemara is going to explain, this that we're talking about in our Mishnah specifically, that she's accustomed to see her period during sunrise, it means to say, sunrise when? Sunrise is the division between night and day, is that she sees right before sunrise, at the end of the nighttime. Then we say that her whole oina, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, it's a day or night period of her vest, is going to be forbidden. So since she's all the way at the end of the night, right before sunrise, that means the whole night is the vest, the oina sabes, and Rabbi Yehuda is being stringent, and he says the day is going to be permitted, but actually the whole night is going to be forbidden. Tanu Lina Braisa, elaborating on this machlekes Rabbi Yisim Yehuda, Ketzat Om Rabbi Yisi, what did Rabbi Yisi mean when he said, Yamim v'shoyis v'sasis, that days and even hours are going to establish vest periods? Says the Braisa, let's say every 20th day is when she has her period. And additionally, it's not only every 20th day, it's actually the 6th hour, the 20th day and the 6th hour is when she always expects her period. So says the Braisa as follows, let's say she reaches the 20th day, the beginning of the 20th day, and she does not have a discharge of blood. So the first opinion holds, Asur l'shamish kol sheishos rishonis. You're forbidden to have relations the whole first 6 hours of the day. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. Because as we're going to shortly quote him at the end of the Braisa, which is really what he's saying over here, is just being split into two because of the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, that he holds Asur l'shamish kol yem kuli. You're forbidden to have relations the whole day. Because Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his opinion, as we said, that he holds that the whole oinas haves, which is the whole period of that vest, which let's say she expects at a certain hour, but that means to say that a whole day or night period is going to be forbidden. So a woman that her vest is at nighttime, even if she sees it, let's say, all the way at the end of the night, the whole night's going to be forbidden. If her vest is during the day, like we're saying over here in the Braisa, even at the end, the whole day is going to be forbidden. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, the first 6 hours, even though she only expects it at the sixth hour, it's going to be forbidden. But Rabbi Yisi Matra Cheshes, Rabbi Yisi permits the woman up until the sixth hour because he's precise with vest even with hours. So since her vest is only expected in the sixth hour, she's not forbidden, not before, and like we're going to see, neither after. But we're concerned in the sixth hour, because then she's forbidden, because that's her vest, and we're going to expect her to have dam then. Of Rishayshayz V'lei Rasa, let's say the sixth hour passed, and she did not have a discharge of blood. So Asur l'shamish kol yem kuli, the Rebbe still says, no, the whole Einos HaVes we expect and we're concerned for, and therefore she's forbidden even the rest of the day to have relations. From the afternoon and onward, meaning after the sixth hour, when the sun starts moving from east to west, because in the seventh hour it's already turned and it's already in the west, right after the sixth hour, meaning 11 to 12 is forbidden, let's say if it was perfect hours. But beforehand and afterwards are going to be permitted according to Rabbi Yisi, because the old vest could be not only days, but even in the hour. As we said in the Mishnah, if she was accustomed to seeing her dam of Nida by Netzachama, by sunrise, so we had a machlekes. Rabbi Yisi said, okay, only at the time of sunrise is she forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a whole day is going to be permitted, but the inference, like we said, the whole night is going to be forbidden. So he's most stringent. So on that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he says, okay, the whole day is hers, but the previous night is going to be forbidden, the Gemara has to pretend to learn the Braisa exactly the opposite. Yehuda, I mean, he says, "Kol alayla shalah." The whole previous night is permitted, but the next day is forbidden. Is the inference? So that's the exact opposite of what he says in the Mishnah. Says, "Gemara lekasha." It's not difficult, as we alluded to when we explained the Mishnah. Ha, the halacha the Brice is talking about the regila liris betchilas yamama, which is accustomed to see, like when we say at sunrise, what moment is that? It's either day or night. What part of sunrise? Right in the beginning of the day. Vaha, but when we said in the Mishnah, im ha-netzachama, with sunrise, what do we mean in the Mishnah? The regila liris b'seif lelia, that she's accustomed to seeing all the way at the end of the night. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda said, kalayim shalot, the whole day is hers, because that's not part of the vest. It's all the way at the end of the night, but the night's going to be forbidden. When the Braisa says im ha-netz, it means in the beginning of the daytime. Oh, so therefore the night is permitted, but the day is going to be forbidden. Because it's only during that oina, no matter if it's all the way at the beginning or at the end, but the other one is going to be permitted. Similarly, the Gemara says the same idea. Tanna chadulin na braisa. Rabbi Yehuda aishru lefnei vest. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, what's before the expected period is going to be forbidden, but a material achavesta is going to be forbidden, but material achavesta, but what's after the period is going to be permitted. Yet for tan idichulin, another braisa, exactly the opposite. Aishru laachavesta. He says that she's forbidden after the expected period, material lefnei vest, but she's permitted before the vest. So which one is it, before or after? Says the Gemara b'leikash, it's not difficult, the same idea. Ha, the first brayse that says that she's going to be forbidden before the vest is the regila lemechse b'soif leli, is where she's accustomed to seeing all the way at the end of the nighttime. So, but it's still part of the nighttime, so whatever's beforehand in that whole night is part of that oinus of vest, and that's going to be forbidden. What's after that, which is already daytime, is permitted. Ha, the regila lemechse b'tchilis imam, the second brayse is toma, which she's accustomed to seeing in the beginning of the day, all the way in the beginning. So what's before that, which is nighttime, is permitted. What's after that, which the rest of the day, is going to be forbidden. Now, Amar Rav, he says, halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, that it's not like just like Rabbi Yisi, that just that hour that's expected. It's the whole oinas haves, the whole either day or night period that's included in that forbidden time of the woman that we say we're expecting her to have that period. On this, the Gemara asks, Amar Rav, did Rav really say this, that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? But Ratan, you learn the Braise, the Apostle says, of a yikr, v'hizartim es b'nei Yisrael mitumasim, they should separate the Jewish people from their impurity. Now, what's that going on? The next Pasuk says, v'hidva b'nei dasa, that if a woman has a flow of blood, so what does that teach us when it's talking about to separate them and make a distance and make a boundary regarding what the next pasuk is talking about regarding dam nida? Mekano Rabbi Yirmi, from here Rabbi Yirmi tells us the pasuk is saying Azhar l'bnei Yisrael. It's a warning to the Jewish people sheyifreshu min hashesein, that they should separate from their wives samach levestin, meaning to say make a separation. Be careful. We don't want you to have relations with a nida. So what you do is not just by the vest itself, by the being exactly when the period's supposed to come, but even near that, men should separate from their wives. And Vakama, how much is that? Amar Rav, and then that Rav said, it's a period. So says the Gemara, my love, ayin achriti, wasn't Rav saying another period? Meaning, if her vest is during the daytime, so that Allah was telling us that she's forbidden the whole daytime. And what does it mean, samach lavesta? It means, and the whole night beforehand. Or let's say if her vest is at nighttime, so the whole night is forbidden, and the whole day beforehand. So how could Rav say, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda only says the ayin is a vest itself is forbidden, not another one samach to that. So that says the Gemara, Allah, no. When Rav was saying the halacha bizartim as bnei Yisrael mitamasim that they have to separate from the wives samach levestan, it means yeah, the vest is let's say the sixth hour. On that is the pasuk telling us no, even near that, meaning that whole aina period, which is exactly like the teaching of Yehuda. So says the Gemara, okay, then betarti lama. Then why did Rav have to teach us this halacha two times? Which one was saying the halacha like Yehuda, and one is this teaching of how much is aina. Says the Gemara, Tricha was necessary. Why? If we only had this, what we quoted originally in the Gemara, that he says, Allah is like a Yehuda, I would have said, that's only for the laws of Taharas, as our Mishnah was speaking about regarding the laws of Taharas, which is the more stringent halacha. But for regarding her husband, then you don't have to separate the whole Aina and just the vest itself. Therefore, we brought the Braisa, which is talking about being mafresh from Nishasein, from their wives regarding having relations. That even that is also forbidden the whole Aina. And the opposite, Vimahi, if we only had the Braisa, Havimina Samach Levesta, I would have thought to say when it says that you have to separate near the vest, we would, like we had originally asked, we would have thought to say that means Oinachriti, another time period, not just the time period of the vest itself of that day, but actually the night before or the day before. Therefore, he said, Allah is like a Yehuda, which clearly demarcates and tells us it means that time period of that day or night when the actual vest is, and not the day or the night before. And therefore he said it two times, the same idea that it's the Aina, like Rabbi Yehuda, that's going to be forbidden.